Yeah, on behalf of the organizing team of the Gerald Sturz Lectures on the History of Human Rights and Democracy, Margarete Grandner and Birgitta Bader-Zahr, I have the honor to introduce Sophia Rosenfeld, Walter Anneberg Professor of History at the University of Pennsylvania. What impeded the development of a pluralistic, democratic, political culture in revolutionary France? Where does, historically speaking, modern pluralism come from? These are huge and much debated questions to which Sophia Rosenfeld found fundamentally new answers in the two books she has published until now. A Revolution in Language, the Problem of Signs in Late 18th Century France, growing out of a dissertation at Harvard, which she joined after graduating in Princeton, and acclaimed on both sides of the Atlantic. Sophia Rosenfeld started from the astonishing discovery that there were similarities between the semiotic approach to revolutionary culture dominating historical research on the French Revolution by the end of the 20th century on the one side, and the first Thermidorian explanations of the terror by the mid-1790s. Both centered on the power of language, more specifically on the uses and abuses of the power of language, and they also centered on the question why revolutionary language lended itself so easily to various uses and abuses of power. Sophia Rosenfeld demonstrated, and I quote her, the effects of late Enlightenment epistemology and linguistic theory on the emergence, form, and development of French revolutionary political culture, unquote. This late Enlightenment epistemology and linguistic theory, Sophia Rosenfeld argues, contained, and I quote her again, the seeds of both revolutionary intolerance for pluralism of opinion and revolutionary faith that competition of interest was something that could be overcome. As a consequence, only with the rise of challenges to these Enlightenment social linguistic ideals, the emergence of a contestatory, quasi-democratic political culture became imaginable in a positive sense and thus possible in the 19th century. And this, again, was a quote from the introduction of your book. It's a book, to sum it up, on the epistemological hurdles to the development of pluralism as a positive value in democratic political culture. Her second book, which you see on the right, your right side, it takes up this subject by deepening and broadening the perspective. It is, as the title has it, a book about the idea of common sense. It had two distinguished book prizes, two translations. It was widely acclaimed beyond academic circles. You have reviews in the TLS and the Wall Street Journal, etc. Sophia Rosenfeld was asked for numerous interviews and talks on the subject, including a lecture in Cambridge that I recommend you for its recording on YouTube, Populism, Conspiracy, and Common Sense from Tom Paine to Donald Trump. The subtitle, A Political History, covers something that Sophia Rosenfeld calls epistemological history. What she studied in this book was the formation of an epistemological basis for a populist worldview, a worldview and view of politics that was and has remained ever since deeply ambivalent, because the idea of common sense, or as she calls it, epistemologic populism, as well as it can foster democratization, it also can undermine democracy. There can be such a thing as democratic common sense. But a populist democracy can also turn undemocratic and be it only for its opposition to genuine pluralism. In her book, Sophia Rosenfeld tells a story that takes us from the post-revolutionary London of the 1730s to Enlightenment, Aberdeen, Amsterdam, and Philadelphia of the 1770s, with Thomas Paine's famous pamphlet, Common Sense, of course, then again to revolutionary Paris, but also to Kant's Königsberg, and finally to Hannah Arendt's post-World War II New York in the shadow of 19th and 20th century populisms in both Europe and America. In other words, it's a transnational Atlantic history, and it also transcends conventional periodizations by ranging from the 17th to the 20th century, showing how important it is to situate current political problems in a much longer historical perspective than contemporary history has to offer. This also explains why Sophia Rosenfeld so perfectly fits the profile of the Joel Stuart's lectures on the history of human rights and democracy. Sophia Rosenfeld's career is impressive. Before moving to Penn last year, she had professorships at the University of Virginia and Yale University. She has also taken up the vice presidency of the research division of the American Historical Association in January of this year. She has had various and prestigious fellowships and visiting professorships. And apart from her two books, she has published, of course, articles in top journals and also, which is less often the case among experts, like her opinion pieces in magazines as Dissent or review articles in the weekly The Nation. Currently, Sophia Rosenfeld is co-editing a six-volume book series for Bloomsbury on the cultural history of ideas since antiquity. And as I read, you have two books under contract which seem to take up the main questions to which your books, your previous books, have led you and your readers. What is truth in democracy if it is not, or not simply, common sense? With University of Pennsylvania Press, you have under contract a book on truth and democracy in historical perspective. And the other question is how to accept, how to think democratic pluralism, in other words, how to legitimate a variety of options among which to choose in liberty. This is the book you have under contract with Princeton University Press, The Choices We Make, The Roots of Modern Freedom, How the Idea and Practice of Choice Making Became So Central to Modern Conceptions of Freedom. And this, I think, is a starting point for your lecture, to which we're looking very much forward. Thank you for accepting the invitation.